They say variety is the spice of life, and Skip Heitzig suggests that God wholeheartedly agrees with that statement.
God loves variety. And He has a number of things to do, ways to do them, and people to use to get them done. Imagine what Christmas would be like if all the gifts you received were exactly the same. Socks and underwear. Imagine what it would be like if every place on the globe had the same terrain. Where would you go on vacation? Imagine if every day of the year started and ended and maintained its course exactly the same as the other. It would be like Groundhog Day, that movie. And what if everybody in church had the same way of thinking exactly on every single issue and had the same kind of giftedness? It would also be boring.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
Have you seen those diet pills advertised on TV? Aren't they amazing? These things allow you to eat whatever you want, do absolutely no exercise, and at the end of 6 weeks, you'll look like a bodybuilder or a swimsuit model. It's incredible. It's also what's known as too good to be true. In order to have a beautiful body, we need to do some work, discipline ourselves, and exercise. And those same principles are true for a healthy church body. We'll find out more today here on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. But before we get started, I wanted to let you know that if you contact us for the first time today, we'll send you a teaching from Skip absolutely free. That's right, if you've never called us or sent us a letter, do so today, and we'll send you the message, Follow Jesus, But Don't Be Religious, for free. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And be sure to mention it's your first time to do so, and we'll send you that free teaching from Skip. You know, it takes a lot of work to get in shape, but also to stay in shape. And the same is true spiritually. So let's also consider how we can improve the church body. Skip has some good tips for us coming up in today's study. So stay tuned.
And make the connection.
We'll begin today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you'll mark your Bibles, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he reveals just how obsessed we really are when it comes to body image.
The body beautiful motivates us to jog, bike, row, pump iron, as well as nip and tuck and stretch. A poll was taken where people were asked, if you could change one thing about your life, what would it be? Overwhelmingly, it had to do with appearance, as you might suspect. Body type, color of hair, age, etc. The average American woman is 5'4" tall and weighs 142 pounds. That's not what she wants. She would like to be, according to these polls, 5'6" or above and in the 120s. As far as weight, the average American male is 5'10" and weighs 180 pounds. That's not what he'd like. He'd like to be 5'11 or 6 foot and be 171 pounds. Because of that, the diet industry is a $33 billion a year business. Everybody's into it, aren't they? In fact, it's even affecting kids these days. Little boy was sucking his thumb, and his mom tried to break him of it and tried to reason with him and said, Johnny, does it taste good? No, he said. Does it feel good? No. Well, then tell me what's good about sucking your thumb. And he said, well, it is non-fattening, you know. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a different body, the body of Christ, the church. It is a description that the Bible uses of the church frequently. In fact, I would say it is probably Paul's favorite word picture of the church, the body of Christ. And I pray and hope that you'll want to make it beautiful. Here's a scenario. What would you do if you went into a small group setting, a church fellowship type of a setting, and you really didn't know the people of the group? You just knew that you were a little bit uncomfortable at first because you don't know them, and they seem different from you. Now, there's a number of options. Number one, you can stay anonymous in the group, as anonymous as you can during that evening, and the next time, and the next time. Number two, you could decide to leave that group and find a different group more suitable to your feelings at that moment. Number three, you could stay and try to persuade all of those people who are different from you into your way of thinking, you know, the right way of thinking. Or number four, you could just bag the small group altogether and say, I'm leaving and I'm not going to even find another one because, frankly, I've been brokenhearted in giving myself to other groups and I just don't need that. I don't want to get burned again. The body of Christ, how do we make it beautiful? How do we make it attractive, not only for believers, but for unbelievers? And I'm going to give you tonight four ways to do that. A Christian without a ministry is really an anomaly. It's a contradiction in terms to say, I'm a Christian, but I really don't fit in any church, in any body of Christ. Because the way God made all of us, the Bible clearly says, is that we all have a distinct purpose to fulfill within the group called the church. So as we go through this tonight, I want you just to be thinking, because we're going to mention gifts in this lineup. Where do you fit? What are your gifts? How are you fulfilling not just the great commission to go out all over the world, but that great calling to minister to the body of Christ? I found this some time back. It's an interesting way of reasoning. It says there are 200 million Americans, 86 million are over 65, 76 million are under 21. That leaves only 38 million really to do the work. But 6 million are in the armed forces, that leaves 32 million left to do the work. But 6 million are on welfare, that leaves 26 million to do the work. But 15 million work for the government, that leaves 11 million to do the work. I don't exactly know what they mean by that. 10 million are in school. That leaves 1 million to do the work, but 750,000 are disabled or sick. So that leaves only 250,000 to do the work. Last week, there were 249,998 people in prison. That leaves two people to do the work. And since you don't do much, no wonder I'm so tired, writes this person. Let's get into 1 Corinthians 12. Let me just tell you a little bit about what is happening. Corinth was a church riddled with issues, problems. And the letter of Paul to Corinth, the first letter, is to unravel and solve some of those problems that were present, including, most prominently, divisiveness within that group. They were divided. They entrenched themselves into little positions, one teacher against another teacher. You might say they made the body of Christ ugly. Paul writes to correct several of these issues, and in chapter 12, he attacks this issue head on. Now, there's four ways to make the body of Christ beautiful. Way number one, first, is to recognize the variety that's in it. Recognize, don't fight against it, recognize it, enjoy it. Let's jump in at verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, differences of ministries, the same Lord, diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Step number one, recognize variety. There is not one gift. There is not one style of ministry. There is not one method, one denomination, one person that's to be lifted up over everyone else. Recognize the variety. God loves variety. And He has a number of things to do, ways to do them, and people to use to get them done. Imagine what Christmas would be like if all the gifts you receive were exactly the same. Socks and underwear. Imagine what it would be like if every place on the globe had the same terrain. Where would you go on vacation? Imagine if every day of the year started and ended and maintained its course exactly the same as the other. It'd be like Groundhog Day, that movie. And what if everybody in church had the same way of thinking exactly on every single issue and had the same kind of giftedness? It would also be boring. We have, I'm afraid, spiritual molds. We don't know it, but we have created them, and every church, every denomination, every organization seems to pick them up. It's this whole idea of save them and press them into this mold. And it's unfortunate because we give people a false set of standards too often. A few years back, Steve Taylor, who at that time was a contemporary Christian musician, now he's an older one, wrote a song called I Want to Be a Clone. It was a song that sort of highlighted the tendency within the church to homogenize everyone. Here's part of his song. Their language was so new to me, but Christianese got through to me. And now I can speak it fluently. I want to be a clone. So now I see the whole design. My church is an assembly line. The parts are there. I'm feeling fine. I want to be a clone. I've learned enough to stay afloat, but not so much I rock the boat. I'm glad they shoved it down my throat. I want to be a clone. You'll even notice that people with the same gift mix are different in the exercise of their gifts. You could take two Bible teachers and give them the exact same text to preach on. It'll come out differently. That's variety. Give Ephesians 4 to Chuck Swindoll. Give Ephesians 4 to Raul Ries. I guarantee you will have two different animals in terms of a message. Evangelism is the same way. Not everybody preaches like Billy Graham. A lot of people try to preach exactly like Billy Graham and even take a southern accent when they don't have one. But he's gifted at speaking to a crowd and moving thousands of people. Others don't have that same exact calling. They're evangelists, but they're better one-on-one, door-to-door. They love to knock on a door, see a fresh face, cold turkey, share the gospel. Not a lot of us like that. A lot of us would knock on the door and pray to God that nobody answers it. Because that's just not how we're crafted, how we're made. So we cannot confine God to a style, a gift, a method. Recognize variety. A good example of that is the healings of Jesus. Did He heal all people the same? Did He have a healing line where He'd kind of hit them on the forehead and they'd fall backwards? No, He was so varied, wasn't He? Sometimes He would touch them. Another time He would not touch them, but He would speak a word from a distance. Same effect, healing. On yet another occasion, Jesus spoke to them, did nothing, but as they left and went their way, in the process they were healed. My favorite is the time when Jesus spat on the ground and made mud out of his saliva and wiped it in a guy's eye and said, go wash. That's an interesting style. I'd like to see some of the evangelists on TV pull that off. Jesus was so varied. Verse 11, look at that one more time and notice who's controlling the variety. But one and the same Spirit, that is a reference to the Holy Spirit, the one who coordinates the body. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Notice those last two words, He wills. The church isn't really about what we will, what we want, as much as where I fit in the great scheme of what He wants. What is He doing? What is He wanting? That's the question all of us need to be asking on an ongoing basis. What is God wanting to do here, and where do I fit in? See, these are gifts that God gives to you individually, but not to keep individually, but to share corporately with the group. They're gifts. You don't earn them, nor do you work your way up necessarily through them. In other words, you don't say, well, if I'm a really good word of wisdom guy, can I be a prophet eventually? Well, tell you what, if I really exercise the gift of helps faithfully, can I then be a teacher? That'd sort of be like your kneecap asking, if I'm a good kneecap, could I be a shoulder someday? So the issue is God has crafted you, saved you, given you gifts according to what He wills for the whole group. And so I would say, find out what your gifts are, find out who you are in the Lord, be yourself, be thyself. When you try to copy someone else, you rob the body of Christ of your uniqueness. So step number one, recognize variety. Step number two, emphasize unity. Back to verse 11, but we'll read a few more verses. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Recognize variety, but emphasize unity. Now, this second truth balances out the first truth. Here's how. If we're all about recognizing variety and individuality, and we don't mix that with unity, we're going to have a malfunctioning group of people all wanting to do their own thing. You can't emphasize one and take away the other. Consider your body, just how wonderfully designed you are. Your brain, the master organ. They tell us your brain has 10 billion nerve cells. 10 billion. I don't know how many we really use, but we have that many. And they're connected, and they control everything. They are sending and receiving messages depending on what we see, hear, feel, experience. 600 muscles are being coordinated, ligaments, etc. And what's really cool is the first model worked. When God made Adam and Eve, He didn't have to work the bugs out. It was perfect right out of the assembly line. It's an incredible body. Now, in the church, since Paul gives us that analogy, Colossians tells us the head of the body is Christ. He's the master. He's the one who gives the orders. He's the one who tells this person to go there, this person to do that. The Holy Spirit, I see it, is like the nervous system, taking the messages from the brain, conveying it to the different parts of the body so that the end result is a smooth coordination, a beautiful effort to glorify God. Your human body, and I emphasize human because I can't necessarily say that about the church always, the spiritual body of Christ. Your human body is an amazing example of coordination. It really is truly amazing. Stomach sends a message to the brain that says, I need fuel. We need fuel. Because frankly, it's not just the stomach, it's the whole body. The brain quickly goes into action, sends a message to the legs, go to the kitchen. The eye sees the burger. The nose smells the onions. The hand goes out and grabs the chow, stuffs it in the mouth. The stomach is happy. The body is nourished. Talk about cooperation. Now, it doesn't always happen that way in the body of Christ. It's not always a healthy body sending and receiving the messages from the brain and back. We all know that one of the best feelings is health. When our body is healthy, when we're operating at peak performance, nothing is better than that on a physical level. Some years ago, I went to Venice Beach, California. Has anybody been there? Have you ever seen that? If you haven't, you've seen it on TV, guaranteed. This is where they have body building on the beach, and the guys, you know, they look like they got sacks of potatoes for arms, are strong, big. And they're lifting weights on the beach and then doing odd things for the crowds. The guy that I saw was juggling chainsaws while they were going. And I looked at that and I'm thinking, if this guy slips, it's a mess. You can imagine. He didn't slip. It was incredible hand-eye coordination. Every muscle, every part working so finely tuned. Hey, when the body works great, you feel great. It is great. But what happens when even one little part gets an infection? One little part gets inflamed. It can slow you completely down or even kill you. A few years ago, my wife is out of town, and I had a stomach ache. You think, well, you were just lonely. Well, that's probably true, but it was more than that, because at 2 a.m. I woke up from a sleep and I had a gut-wrenching pain, and I called a friend and he took me to the hospital, and the doctor said, it looks really bad. Your white count is up. You have an infection. We're going to admit you into the hospital. So I stayed in the hospital for 2 days, exam after exam after exam. Well, we don't know what the problem is, but there's some part of you that is infected. We just can't tell which part. Okay, what are you going to do? Well, we got to do more tests. So the next day, they did more tests. They did this test where you drink this stuff and they x-ray and nothing was wrong there. Next day, they did this thing called a barium enema. Now, by this time, I'm just put off with this whole thing. And I'm thinking, you know, what Job said, that which I have feared has come upon me. And I start thinking, now, which part of my body isn't cooperating that causes me to get this? A healthy body is great when all the parts are working together, but if one little part is out of whack, it is a horrible feeling. If the body doesn't coordinate or cooperate or communicate, malfunctions.
Well, we'll get more advice on how we can build a better body for Christ next time. And hopefully you've noticed that the tips we've explored are also useful for helping us build our own personal spiritual health as well. So if you'd like a copy of today's study, stay with us and I'll tell you how to order one right after a few details on a new resource that proves you can understand the book of Revelation without being a biblical scholar. Here's more.
It seems kind of strange to try and predict one's future with a piece of plastic filled with liquid and random dice that have various sayings written on them.
Will I be rich and famous? Not likely. Oh, come on.
And yet every year, around 1 million Magic 8 Balls are sold. If you really want to know what the future holds, don't rely on a plastic toy. Just turn to the back of your Bible. In Skip Heitzig's new book, you can understand the book of Revelation. You'll discover keys to unlocking what the Bible's final book reveals about the future. Learn how to properly interpret the signs and symbols of Revelation, and what many Christians miss when they study this book. Order You Can Understand the Book of Revelation on special this month for only $12 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Well, if you'd like a copy of today's message on how to build a beautiful body, give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or pay us a visit online at connectionradio.org. We'd be happy to send you one for just $6. We'd also love to get a letter from you. If you have a thought or a prayer request you'd like to share with us, write us today at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Write us today. Let us know what's on your heart. Or give us a call and order a copy of today's teaching when you call 1-800-922-1888. And however you do it, we look forward to hearing from you. And thank you for joining us here today on The Connection.
And make the connection.
Some more bodybuilding tips for you next time, so be sure to join us as we learn how we can help get the church spiritually fit. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.